WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Friday the 13th. Oh, yes. Friday the 13th, folks. That's a bad omen. That's all I'm going to say about that, all right? But we plan on making it a positive one here throughout the hour here on WKAR AM 870 with a hot, hot show filled with a ton of sports talk. On today's show, we will talk about the possibility of Floyd Mayweather Jr., famed fighter from right here in Michigan, possibly jumping back into the ring. Yeah, we'll chat about that. Also, the Detroit Tigers have lost another one. Yep, we have to do it, folks. They fell to the Baltimore Orioles last night. Find out how that one went about. Also, we will talk with Diamond Leung, friend of the show, who is a beat reporter for the NBA's one and only Golden State Warriors. Diamond writes for the Bay Area News Group. He has been just really in heaven covering the greatest regular season basketball team in NBA history as of right now in NBA history, folks. He'll talk about what it's been like to follow this team and his thoughts and predictions on the Western Conference Finals, in which the Warriors will now go against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you don't want to miss that chat. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about college football and the Michigan State football team as they were ranked in Sports Illustrated's and also ESPN's way too early spring college football rankings. So you don't want to miss that. And also, we will close the show with Reflection Friday. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, May 13th. All right, we start with some tough news for the Michigan State softball team. A seven-inning rally. I should say a seventh-inning rally allowed Illinois to erase a two-run deficit and come away with a 3-2 dub over Michigan State in the first round of the softball Big Ten tourney in Pennsylvania on Thursday afternoon. The Spartans finished the season at 27-28. MSU had entered the Big Ten tournament winners of five of their last seven games, but lost two of their last three on walk-off hits. The Spartans lose just three seniors, though, from the 2016 squad and should return 15 letter winners to the 2017 squad. So a great season by Jackie Joseph and her team. Unfortunately, it has to come to a bitter end, and we plan on getting Jackie on our airwaves very soon to put a bow on it. All right, the Michigan State baseball team, they head to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes in the final regular season road series for the Spartans. Friday's opener will take place tonight at 7.05 p.m. Eastern Time, with Saturday's game slated for a 3.05 p.m. start before the finale on Sunday at 2.05 p.m. Now, MSU enters the weekend with a 32-13 record and sits fourth in the Big Ten Conference at 11-7, while Iowa is 22-23 overall and 8-10 in league play. MSU enters the weekend boasting, get this, a 2.20 ERA. That is the fourth best in the entire country. Wow. Staff ace Cam Butte, he leads the way with a 2.20 ERA and ranks third in the Big Ten. Saturday starter Ethan Landon is sixth in the Big Ten with a 2.69 ERA, while the bullpen has, as a group, owns a 2.38 ERA. So fantastic play on the mound for the Michigan State baseball team. Wish them luck in that weekend series against Iowa on the road. All right, the number two ranked University of Michigan softball team, they are 44-4. That's craziness. Yeah, they will kick off postseason play this weekend at the Big Ten Conference Tournament in Pennsylvania. With the number one seed, the Wolverines earned a first-round bye and will open play in the quarterfinal round tonight at 8 p.m. facing number nine Indiana. U of M swept a three-game road series at IU this year. All games will be held on Beer Field at Nittany Lions Softball Park and aired live on the Big Ten Network. Good luck to Carol Hutchins and her stout squad. All right, the red-hot Baltimore Orioles. That offense got going late and rallied the team to a 7-5 victory over the Tigers on Thursday night at Camden Yards. The series opening victory was Baltimore's fifth in a row and 10th in 14 games, while Detroit lost for the ninth time in 10 games. Jarrett Saltalamacchia slugged his seventh homer for the Tigers, who also got two RBIs apiece from Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. Mike Pelfrey held Baltimore to two runs on five hits over 5 1/3 innings of work, but was left with a no decision as relievers. The Wilsons, Alex Wilson and Justin Wilson, came in and combined to surrender five runs in the seventh inning. Right-hander Justin Verlander has pitched well at Oriole Park and will try to do so again when he takes the ball tonight at 7.05 p.m. Eastern Time. JV, who is 2-3 with a 5.40 ERA this season, has a 7-0 record and a 2.84 ERA in 8 career starts in Baltimore, along with 43 strikeouts. Right-hander Chris Tillman pitches for the Orioles. Offensive lineman Lamar Holmes was cut by the Detroit Lions today. The team signed undrafted rookie defensive end Lewis Palmer of Central Michigan University. Now, Palmer, who played high school football at Detroit Cass Tech, had 5 sacks in 48 career games with the Chippewas. He started all 13 games last year and is one of 3 undrafted rookie defensive ends on the roster, along with Georgia's James DeLoach and Northwestern's Deontay Gibson. All right, unbeaten Detroit cruiserweight Isaiah Thomas, who he is, yes, named after the Detroit Pistons great, meets former U.S. Olympian Michael Hunter on Showbox, the next generation, or I should say the new generation, on Showtime from Las Vegas tonight. Thomas is, get this, 15-0 with 6 knockouts. I'm going to try to tune into that one. I heard great things about Thomas, and he's an entertaining fighter to watch as well. All right, Kenya's track and field athletes won't be banned from the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro despite serious concerns over the African country's anti-doping program. The IAAF announced that news today. Now, despite Thursday's decision by the World Anti-Doping Agency to suspend Kenya's drug testing agency, the IAAF says its athletes can still compete internationally through the end of 2016. So you will see Kenya doing its thing on the track and field this summer. And last but not least, UFC president Dana White doesn't see Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fighting anytime soon. Even if the two sides genuinely wanted to make it happen, White said, it's unlikely they ever could agree to terms. Now just look at how long Mayweather took to negotiate the biggest fight of his boxing career, White added. Quote, let me put it to you this way. This is when White was on ESPN's Russillo and Kanell on Thursday. Quote, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are in the same sport. It took how long for those two to fight? Now imagine how hard it would be to get Mayweather and McGregor to fight. They're not even in the same sport, end quote. Again, that's quotes from UFC president Dana White. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. How about we start the show?
Congratulations, your reaction to becoming the cover star of Madden 17. Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate it. Just my rookie year, it was just an honor to be in the game. Just using yourself as a player, throwing you the ball, yourself the ball every single time you can at home, just playing the game. But now it's a dream come true, going into my seventh season and being on the cover.
What was your reaction when you found out?
When I first found out, I was blessed. It was a surreal moment. I mean, I've been close to being on the cover of Madden. Last year I lost to Odell, which he's an excellent player, but when I found out that I was truly going to be on a cover, it was a great feeling and definitely a surreal moment. You got to look at the players that were on it recently. You had Odell, who had an unbelievable year last year. You had Richard Sherman, who went to the Pro Bowl the year he was on it. Calvin Johnson, who broke the receiving record when he was on the cover. So it's the present now. It's the future of the cover. So I feel like I've already went through all my injuries at that time. So I feel like I'm good. I'm blessed right now to be on it. I feel like everything's going to go smoothly.
Too hot to handle. Cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters into end control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up and grew, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs off the back, and they split. Found out about Beagle, the master of evil. Trying to battle my boys? That's not legal. They're in control. Get out it.
All right. Happy Friday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. We are so humbled and honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Once again, it is Friday. That's right, T-G-I-F. You've made it. You've made it, folks. Long week. Long week for me, at least. Pretty busy, you know, and there's a it continues for me. The grind never stops for me, all right, as the softball classic will kick off tomorrow as well. And the Lansing Lugnuts, they are also in town and at Cooley Law School Stadium throughout the weekend. So a busy weekend if you love the diamond. So it never stops. And but hey, it is Friday. It's Friday the 13th, though. You know, I don't know how many superstitious listeners we have out there, but if you are superstitious, you're making sure that on your daily commute, when you're if you're out there walking, that you don't step on any cracks, okay? Because, you know, a lot of people are very superstitious out there, Isaac, that, you know, when this day comes around, whenever Friday the 13th comes around, which is rare, but, you know, but I tell you what, it happens a lot, though. There are many Friday the 13ths throughout the year, and when it does occur, it amazes me how many people are so superstitious that they have their head on the swivel throughout the 24 hours throughout that day. So I'm hoping our listeners out there are having a great Friday and are reversing that omen, or at least trying to. What you just heard was the announcement of the Madden cover. Now, for our older listeners that don't know what video games are and don't know what the heck Madden is, let me explain. Madden is arguably the most popular video game of all time. It started back in the 90s. You guys know John Madden, the famed coach, also was a player back in the day. Also a great, great broadcaster. Part of my childhood was watching, you know, John Madden and Al Michaels do their thing on Monday Night Football. I used to love watching those two. Also, Pat Summerall before Al Michaels. Oh, my goodness. How can I forget about that, right? But John Madden, you know, they decided to slap his name on a football video game back in the 90s, and it completely just erupted. National fame, international fame. I mean, this game was the game growing up in the Martin household. I remember, you know, a big part of my childhood was, you know, when I had my Nintendo 64. And all my cousins would come over during the holidays or during the summer months, and we would just plop down on the floor, you know, pop in Madden 96, whatever year it was at the time. No, it could have been 96. Probably like, okay, 98, 99. And we would pop it in, grab the controller, and just go at it. Some of my all-time greatest childhood memories right there. And, you know, it's a franchise that has survived the hands of time, and so much so that here we are in the year 2016 talking about yet another Madden video game. Now, I will say this, you know, and I want to throw out this question. This is going to be the overlaying question that I want to pose out to our listeners out there that know what the heck I'm talking about when I talk about the John Madden football game. I want to know, what was your favorite John Madden football game growing up? And for those that played it, for those that either had PlayStation or Nintendo 64 or, you know, PS, what, 58 now. I think they have, what, PlayStation 4 that's out right now, or Xbox 360 and Xbox One. What is your all-time favorite Madden video game? Because for me, and I thought it was like, it was such, you know, when Michael Vick, when he was at the height of his powers, folks, with the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, Michael Vick was everywhere. I mean, you couldn't turn on the television without seeing a Michael Vick commercial. I remember when he had his own shoes and he was with Nike. I mean, he was really blowing up. So much so that the EA, the team at EA Sports decided to put Michael Vick on the cover of the Madden franchise in 2004. And I remember when that game came out, whoever had Michael Vick, it was cheating. I don't care what you say. It was like, you know, his stats were like 99 all the way through. His accuracy, his speed. I mean, it was ridiculous how good they made Michael Vick on that video game. And so much so that when we were playing it, we had a rule that you could not play with the Atlanta Falcons. And if you did, you would have to play with another quarterback. You could not play with Michael Vick. He was that good. If you didn't have nothing down the field, you could just turn, you know, press the turbo button, and it was a first down, all right? So that had to be my favorite one because it was the most memorable for me. You know, I remember, you know, all of us sitting back and just in awe of what Michael Vick could do and then putting that talent in the video game, which is really a create-a-player cheat code. That had to be my favorite one. But you can also bring up Calvin Johnson. If you remember Calvin Johnson, Megatron Johnson, which I still can't process that he will no longer be in a Detroit Lions uniform next season. He has decided to retire early due to health concerns, but Calvin Johnson was on the cover in 2013. And there's this overlying adage that used to, you know, hover around the Madden franchise that whoever was on the cover of the Madden video game would get injured the following season. There was a Madden curse, and this was something real, folks. I mean, you know, there have been countless examples over the years of individuals who are on the cover of Madden football that went on the next season to have a bad year or get injured. But, you know, Calvin Johnson, thank goodness that didn't happen to him, because in 2013, if you know, it was not a big deal for him. He set the NFL record for yardage in a season with 1,964, breaking the mark that Jerry Rice had held for 16 years. And also, Johnson managed to stave off the cover awards effects for three more 1,000-yard seasons before he retired this past winter. So, Calvin Megatron Johnson, you will be missed, my friend. But I have to go with 2004. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Now, I tell you what, Isaac. Isaac Constance is going to join us now. I want to say this. I really wish I had more time in my daily life to play video games, but I haven't played video games in so long, dude. And I'm feeling the itch right now just talking about this.
This is my week to let up, because next year the jobs start again. I've got two more on the way in addition to this, so I'll be quite busy once those start up. But right now, I do have some time to kick back, play a little FIFA, play a little 2K, play a little whatever I want. Actually, I just bought Shell. That's what people call it up here, Shell.
What is that?
Shell. NHL. They call it Shell.
They do not call it that.
I have no idea.
They do not call it Shell. They call the NHL...
Shell.
They call the NHL the league or the video game
I show? Think the video game. I think just the video game. But I bought it because it's a fun game. But anyway.
Right.
So, actually, I have a couple quick thoughts. First, I'll get to my Madden games that I played growing up and my favorite ones. Number one, number 11. Madden 11 with Drew Brees on the cover. That was the year after the Saints won the Super Bowl. So that's my personal preference.
Right.
But that gameplay also took a big boost. The passing was more accurate, and they eliminated the undefeatability of the curl route and the little halfback out route. Those were unstoppable.
That's my move, dude.
Madden 11, they eliminated those a little bit. So that helped out. Also, Madden 02, my first ever Madden game, got for $1. At Toys R Us in New York when we went. So that was great. And then they had Pharaoh Monch and Yassine Bey on the track. So Most Def. For those who better know him. Mathematics.
Isaac, I am very impressed that you knew Most Def's real name, Yassine Bey. How did you know that, dude? Are you a big Most Def guy? If you know Most Def's real name.
Most Def does a lot for the city of New Orleans, too, even though he's not from there. Big advocate of the city after Katrina.
Unless I heard with Mos Def, he was like banned from, I forget what country he's in, but they're not letting him go, something like that.
I heard about a trip to Guantanamo Bay. Reason.
Right. He's stuck out there, I think. I don't know. That's the last I've heard of Mos Def, but he's one of the greatest hip hop artists of all time. Also, I'm going to bring up this, though. If you remember, Barry Sanders was technically on the cover back in 2000, if you remember, where John Madden himself was on the cover. But if you remember, he was pointing to like a, well, in the background, you could see Barry Sanders breaking a tackle. And that was the year, of course, that Barry decided to call it quits and retire from the NFL, because it came out. He was on the cover back in 2000. That was season 1999, though. And that's right around the time where Barry said, peace out, deuces, I'm done with football. And also, of course, you remember when he shared the dual cover with Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings as well. Yep. The fans got a chance to vote for that. And I remember announcing that when I was a reporter at Channel 6 News. Back in, I want to say 2013. So I want to know, folks, weigh in on this. You know, those that are fans of the Madden franchise, what was your favorite Madden year? And who do you think, what do you think is the best Madden of all time? And what was your favorite cover as well? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So, let me just have a big sigh of breath before we go into this, Isaac. Yeah, yet again, we have to talk about the Detroit Tigers. We've got to talk about them, folks. We got to bring them up because they're the Tigers, and it's baseball season. There's nothing else to talk about, right? The Detroit Tigers have now lost 9 of their last 10 games. 7-5 was the final last night as they played the Baltimore Orioles. And different day, same song, in my opinion. The Tigers blow a 5-run lead after the top of the sixth inning to go on and lose 7-5. The bullpen comes in and just totally, totally mucks it up for the Detroit Tigers. Mike Pelfrey, solid outing, I must say, for Pelfrey. Didn't allow a hit until the third inning. He looked very locked in from the start of that game. 2 runs on 5 hits, lasting up until the fifth, in which he was pulled with 1 out left to go. So 5 2/3 innings for Mike Pelfrey. And you talk about the Tigers and how they've struggled at bat, and we all know about the 20K performance that former Detroit Tiger, now Washington National pitcher, Max Scherzer had not too long ago this week. The Tigers have been struggling at bat. And to put that in perspective, though, again, they had, a 5-run lead. A 5-run lead in the sixth inning. Pretty impressive, though, right? But they squandered many opportunities to add to that lead. And what I mean by that is, when looking at the bases loaded and men stranded opportunities for the Tigers left the bases loaded in the first and the seventh inning. Get this, though. In the second and third innings, they left 2-1. In grand total, they left 12 men. They stranded 12 men on base that could have added to that Detroit Tigers lead. Now, granted, I may be crying over spilt milk here and really maybe grasping at straws when I make this argument. But again, if you go into the late innings of the game, the sixth inning, with a 5-run lead, you got to win. I don't care how many men you could have had, in addition to that lead. You have to get the dub in a situation like that. The bullpen. How about the Wilsons, Isaac? Alex Wilson and Justin Wilson. No relation. Alex Wilson, he goes in the seventh. He allows 3 straight singles and a run. So Brad Ausmus says, oh, no, we got to nip this in the bud right now. The Orioles are not going to win this game. So what does he do? He throws in Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson comes in the game in the seventh, allows 2 more singles, 2 more runs, and then a go-ahead triple. And then it was finito from there. Again, Tigers going to lose 7-5. I don't know what more I can say concerning this team, Isaac. Different day, same old problems.
Exactly. And the Tigers, and these are the same old problems from last year. You and I mentioned early on this year, the bullpen isn't the problem. Now the bullpen's the problem. And there are so many things that could change in the positive direction for the Tigers. You think, oh, if the bats get going. Oh, what if JV recaptures that 2013 form? Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Guess what? There are negative sides too. And that's, what if the bullpen collapses? And that's what it's doing right now. The bullpen started off the season as one of the top 10 bullpens in the league. It was fantastic.
Right.
And then, right now, they're at number 20 in the whole season. And in game after game recently, they've been giving up runs in big innings. K-Rod, huh, what a nickname for him right now. I'm not sure if that can still apply to what you'd call him. Then the Wilson twins. They're not twins. But it's easy to call them that. The Wilson twins. How do you give up 5 runs in between the two in an inning when you're left in and put in to prevent that very thing? One, yeah, maybe you got tired. Maybe your arm got tired. But then you bring another in, and the same problem occurs. The same problem re-arises. And that's the thing. The Tigers had a nice lead yesterday. What I've been saying the whole year is the Tigers need to put games to bed
of
with
course.
Their batting.
Right.
Because they get a 3-run lead, and then they can't extend it. They give other teams that glimmer of hope. With a 5-run lead yesterday, you expect that to be a done deal. The Tigers batting did their job yesterday. What didn't is the relief pitching. And same problem as last year, same day, same problems, like you said, and the Tigers need to find a way to strain it all out, finally get the bats back to where they were, and it looks like it might be traveling in that direction. But the relief pitching, it needs to recapture its early season form.
Yeah, well, and what I really look at is, again, you have a 5-run lead after the top of the 6, right? And, you know, I mentioned how the Tigers left 12 men in total on base. Now, again, they had a 5-run lead, but just imagine if they just knock in a few more. I mean, that gives them a little bit of cushion. But again, you know, if you have a 5-run lead and it late in the 6th, you gotta
you
get the dub.
Need more runs.
You gotta get the dub. So I feel like I'm wasting my breath. We've been preaching the same song throughout this horrid stretch of baseball for the Detroit Tigers. Folks, if you want to weigh in on it, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, I want to bring up a story that I just mentioned in our Quicken headliners concerning Floyd Mayweather Jr. and a possible fight between himself and UFC megastar Conor McGregor, who is limping a bit coming off that huge loss on national television. But, you know, Mayweather has hinted at a possibility of getting back in the ring and getting that number 50, and he has trademarked TBE 50 officially, possibly alluding to him getting in and getting back in the ring and getting that big 5-0, because 49-0 is not as sexy as 50-0, you know, good round solid number, right? And he threw around the possibility and said, hey, that maybe, you know, you may see me in the ring against Conor McGregor. And McGregor is playing with it as well. I don't know if you saw his social media account, but McGregor tweeted out a photo of the two possibly getting in the ring and fighting. Who knows if this is going to happen, Isaac? And I have to agree, though, with UFC President Dana White when having this conversation, though. I mean, look how long it took Floyd Mayweather Jr. to get in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. What makes us believe that Floyd is going to expedite this process to get in the ring with a guy who fights in an entirely different sport in UFC? I don't know. There's part of me that wants to see it. I think a lot of people want to see that because we've never seen a crossover as in your face as this one would be. And again, Mayweather is, you know, his nickname is Money for a reason. He's all about moolah. And I think he's getting bored with his Lamborghinis and flashy lifestyle and the women that in the entourage that he has. And he's saying, you know what, I kind of have the itch to get. And, you know, and this thing about Mayweather as well. And this is something I've noticed about Mayweather. And this is the big question for me when Mayweather decided to retire, quote unquote retire, after he fought Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather absolutely adores and loves the spotlight. When you retire and when that fandom slows down and simmers out and you ride off into the sunset of your respective sport, that attention slows down. We haven't talked about Floyd Mayweather really at all up until this point, now that he's playing around with the idea of possibly getting back in the ring. I just don't know if Floyd is ever happy with taking a back seat and just living a comfortable lifestyle and not being constantly in the media spotlight. Because it was really, it has been a bit hard for him, because we also brought up Floyd when it comes to his relationship with fighter Adrian Broner. Mm-hmm. They have an interesting relationship, and Mayweather has gone out of his way to make comments that have rubbed Broner the wrong way, and we've seen Floyd in those conversations as well. I don't know if Mayweather will ever be comfortable with just living an average, quiet lifestyle.
He won't be. You hit it right on the head of the nail right there, because what makes people want to believe that this fight is coming is hope. Because it would be entertaining. It's the two most popular fighters right now going head-to-head. Of course you want to see that. Why it won't happen is logic. Because Conor McGregor is 27 years old. He's not 35. He's not 40. He's not any of the ages of the people who you fought before in the big-time spotlight fights. Mayweather doesn't want to go 49-1, because that's a hell of a lot less attractive than 49-0. So I think this fight has no chance of happening. However, I do think both are going after the publicity, the Twitter followers, all of the different perks of simply promoting a fight without any intention of actually getting in a ring.
So I will ask this, Isaac. So if the two got into the ring, you think McGregor wins that?
I think it depends on the sport. I think if it's boxing, Mayweather dances around him, lasts his 12 rounds, and wins by a judge's decision.
Agreed. I think if they did get into a boxing ring and, you know, you had McGregor, you know, playing Mayweather's game, there's no way that Conor McGregor is going to beat Floyd Mayweather. His defense is too stout. He's going to do the same thing that we see during every single Floyd Mayweather fight. It's so boring. Unless you are a diehard boxing aficionado who loves the sweet science of defense, you go to sleep on Floyd Mayweather's fights, okay? So I think it'll be a boring fight. It'll go 12 rounds. Mayweather wins by decision. If you put Mayweather in the UFC ring, he wouldn't last 2 seconds. McGregor would eat him alive. So 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Diamond Leung, NBA Golden State Warriors beat reporter for the Bay Area News Group. You don't want to miss that chat as Diamond dives into arguably the greatest basketball team of all time, even without the ship. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, May 13th, 2016. I really hope that you all are having a fantastic one out there. Right now, we are going to invite our guest for this afternoon show. He is certainly a dear friend of the show. He went from covering local Michigan State sports here in mid-Michigan to now, and I must say, I'm a bit jealous of this man, because he has covered arguably the greatest basketball team of all time. His name is Diamond Leung, NBA Golden State Warriors beat reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Diamond now joins us. Diamond, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you?
Oh, it's always great to hear your voice. I am doing very, very well, my friend, and thank you so much for taking some time out to join us here this afternoon. First off, Diamond, I got to ask, dude, are the Warriors, because Isaac and I had this conversation yesterday on the show, and when you really look at this team from top to bottom, when I sit on my couch and watch the level of basketball that the Warriors are playing right now on both sides, offensively and defensively, I said to myself, this may very well be the best basketball I have ever seen in my life. Are the Warriors playing the best basketball in NBA history from top to bottom?
It probably depends on the era, really. For the era that they are playing, they certainly are. They've come up with kind of this ball movement offense that they based off what the Spurs were doing. And they've taken it to the next level with historic shooters and guys who can go all over the floor and play defense. And it's really turned into something special.
And you know, a big part of this conversation as well when discussing this team is, of course, the best player on the planet right now, Steph Curry, who just recently accrued his second, yes, back-to-back MVP titles now for Steph Curry, who I believe is the best player in the NBA, just like many. When you look at Steph becoming the very first unanimous winner in MVP history, what do you think about that, Diamond, when looking at all of those individuals, those unbelievably great players of NBA's past that have won the award but never done it unanimously? Do you think it's deserved?
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing that 131 people can come to a consensus, I think. I think in the past, you know, maybe there's been a writer or two that, you know, want to make a statement or whatever. I think one thing that's changed, though, recently is they've started making the votes more transparent. So, you know, like, you know exactly what every voter voted. And I think if I don't think anyone wanted that trouble this year of saying, yeah, Steph Curry's not the MVP, feel free to blow up my phone and my Twitter. So that wouldn't have been too pretty. I think, you know, for anybody that's followed the NBA, you know, he's pretty much locked up the award very early on. And I think 73 just sealed it. And, you know, it was a matter of whether or not you would have some quirk in the system that has happened before. Mm-hmm. And I think it just didn't this time.
Again, he was the first ever unanimous MVP, and it brought about a lot of conversation when discussing not him winning the MVP, because I think that was a general consensus across the board, but him becoming the first ever unanimous MVP. Both Charles Barkley, former NBA hoop great, and Tracy McGrady, who is a fantastic player in his own right as well, claim that the league is, quote, watered down and that the game was in much better shape when they were balling out. What was your reaction to when you heard that chatter from both McGrady and Barkley, Diamond?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. I think former players have pride in their era, and they're seeing, like, hey, maybe, you know, in my era, Steph could be stopped. You know, and certainly he's, I don't think like you mentioned, there's not any argument he's the MVP, but hey, like, you know, was he that dominant? You know, and I think for a lot of the voters, yeah, he was. And that's all you can judge based on is what the competition he's facing. And yeah, sure. I mean, you can say the league watered down, but, the fact is, you know, he just went up and dominated everybody.
That is so true. Right. Very, very true, Diamond. Now, you know, you look at last night and what occurred with the San Antonio Spurs getting eliminated in the Western Conference semifinals at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder will now move on to the Western Conference Finals to take on the Golden State Warriors. And the Thunder might have lost all three regular season matchups with the Warriors this season, but Oklahoma City was tied or led in the fourth quarter of all three contests. Between the Thunder and Spurs, who do you think posed the bigger threat to Dub Nation at the end of the day, Diamond?
You know, I think they, not to dodge the question, but I think each of them had their own individual kind of things that where they could have given the Warriors trouble. With Oklahoma City, you know, obviously, you know, it's just a high-flying act. They've got superstars on the floor. They've got multiple guys who can take the game over, and I think that's always kind of a dangerous situation. The Warriors had to come up with big shots and big plays to really get those three wins. On the other hand, you look at San Antonio, and the Warriors haven't played well at San Antonio. They have a really bad history of playing there. They won their last game there, but prior to that, it's just a place where they have trouble winning. And you look at a team like that, could capitalize on, you know, the Warriors if they get sloppy and commit turnovers. I think that was going to be a major problem for them. But yeah, they don't have to worry about that now and just focus their efforts on Oklahoma City.
Diamond Leung, NBA Golden State Warriors beat reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Kevin Durant averaged 36 points in the three games in which the two squads met. Diamond, for you, what will you be looking forward to watching in this series?
Yeah, I think that's, obviously KD is one to watch, and, you know, never know as well. He could end up a Warrior next season.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
yeah. So all sorts of storylines abound. But I think what everyone's going to be watching is Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry. You know, just the two different dynamics of those two players. It's always fun to watch because they play a different style, and they're both ultra competitive, and I think that's what people want to see. And you know, Steph has gotten the better of Russ, in the past, and we'll see if that changes this time.
So true. Folks, we are chatting with Diamond. If you want to call in and you have a question that you want to pose to Diamond, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We do have a caller right now on line one, Diamond. We've got John from Holt on to ask you a question. John, how are you doing, and what is your question? Fire away.
Hey, great to talk to both you guys. I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts are if the Cavaliers ended up playing the Warriors in the finals. I know that Curry was named MVP, but as you know, the Cavaliers have been playing great basketball throughout the playoffs so far. They have not lost any games up to this point. So what are your thoughts if that happens in the finals?
Thanks for your call, John. What's your thoughts on that? It will be, of course, and that's really the favorite scenario that is possibly going to come out of the situation when looking at the Eastern Conference champion and the Western Conference champion between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Again, the Cleveland Cavaliers are much healthier than they were last year with Irvin back in the mix and Love looking very, very well. What do you think about that matchup, Diamond?
Thanks for the question, John. I think, yeah, it would be certainly a different matchup with Kyrie Irving back in there. If you remember, even with Kyrie Irving out, the Warriors needed to make a dramatic change of the lineup, going with Andre Iguodala and going with a small lineup to really win that series. So I think playing the Cavaliers straight up would be a difficult matchup. Obviously, like you mentioned, they're playing well. The Warriors did beat the Cavs twice this season to kind of, you know, shut up those doubts about, well, we beat them hurt, that kind of thing. But I think in the playoffs it's a different situation. And when you have LeBron on the other side and, you know, they've got all the confidence in the world going through the Eastern Conference to get to potentially the finals. If they did get to the finals, that would, it'd be quite a matchup. There's all sorts of, you know, revenge scenarios and now, hey, now we're healthy. Cavs would be full of confidence.
Very true. Now, Diamond, can we rewind the clock not too long ago to May 9th when Steph Curry completely caught fire in the fourth quarter and into overtime. He scored a league record 17 points in the extra session. Diamond, I just want to know, man, how was it? What was it like just being in the building and watching that?
Yeah, that was quite a scene. You know, we don't have to get to sit courtside, and I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. And, you know, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere because it really didn't. For a guy like Steph, he can get hot at any time, and what was funny is like when you're watching it, maybe it's different on TV, but it was an easy 17, wasn't it? Like it just seemed
yeah.
like right, like it just seemed like, oh yeah, I'm out here hitting shots, step back here, you know, a little layup here. It didn't look like it was a difficult 17 for him to get. It just, you know, just it totally floored Portland. I mean, it was just an unbelievable outburst, and you know, just a testament to what he can, what he has confidence-wise. You know, I asked him afterward, you know, about that and what it takes to come back from an 0-for-9 start from three-point range. And, you know, he talked about that confidence. You know, like, it takes confidence, first of all, just to get to 0-for-9, right? Because you have to keep on shooting. And then to come back with 17 and OT to set a record for most points in overtime ever, it's just incredible.
It is incredible. And, you know, to put in perspective, you know, this is a man who didn't play a game in, what, over 2 weeks, erupting for a performance like that, Diamond. That's insane in the membrane, dude. Oh.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I think it was, you know, he hadn't played 2 weeks with the sprained knee. Mm-hmm. But you go back to, if you go back and he hurt his ankle earlier in the Rockets series, he hadn't played in 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Game.
Wow.
He basically got up after a month and lit him up in the end. It's unbelievable.
I didn't even think about that. It's so true. Oh my goodness. That makes it even more crazy.
That's
nuts. That's nuts, Diamond. Now, you know, looking at this matchup between the Thunder and the Warriors, what sort of game plan do you think the Thunder have to enact to try and slow down this team?
You know, you got to think they'll be more physical with Curry. Even when you think back to that last, the famous shot earlier this season that Steph hit against OKC, I mean, what, he comes down the court, pulls up from, what was it, 32 feet, And, you know, and so I think they've got to change, you know, their mentality with the way they get out on him. You know, obviously he's a guy known for unbelievable range. And the thing is, you've got Klay Thompson to worry about. Klay Thompson was almost quietly, you know, beat the Blazers, really with the, I think what he averaged like 30 points in the series. I mean, he had an incredible series. So
right.
it's pick your poison with the Warriors as usual. And, you know, when you look at a guy like Draymond Green, who's had success, you know, guarding different kinds of players with KD, whether it's KD or not, it just makes for an incredible series, I think.
And, you know, I really thought when you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder and how they were able to beat the San Antonio Spurs, of course, it's really easy to look at the two main threats when it comes to Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. But I really thought that, you know, when you evaluate how the Thunder really went big against San Antonio and Enes Kanter and Adams as well, you know, the Spurs scored, what, just 15 fast break points in 66 minutes against Adams and Kanter, which is right in line with their 14 fast break points per 66 minutes in the regular season action, which ranks 27th in the NBA. The Warriors led the NBA with 28 fast break points per 66 minutes during the regular season. You know, if they go big and throw out Adams and Kanter and play those guys a lot of minutes, do you think that would disrupt anything that the Warriors are accustomed to doing on a nightly basis?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the Warriors understand that they have good bigs and active bigs, and I think the Warriors have the players to counter that. First of all, we've got to see what Andrew Bogut's injury status is. It sounds like from what Steve Kerr saying is not a serious injury, but the Warriors have bigs to match. They've got Festus Ezeli playing a little bit better now that he's coming off. He's had time to recover from injury. He made an impact in the series against the Blazers. They've got Mo Spates, who they've used a lot against OKC in a smaller kind of lineup. And Spates this season has extended his range out to three-point range and just been a really active scorer off the bench for them. Even Anderson Varejão, you know, a guy that hasn't played often for the Warriors, but provides some size for them. So, you know, it should be an interesting matchup there as well. Obviously, a lot of attention focused on the guards, but there'll be plenty there as well to watch.
Looking forward to it. Again, folks, we are chatting with Diamond Leung, NBA Golden State Warriors beat reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Before I get you out of here, Diamond, I want to, of course, talk about Draymond Green, former Michigan State hoop great, who is just a stout player for Dub Nation. And, you know, I really find it interesting how, you know, because Draymond is clearly the heart and soul of that Golden State Warriors squad. And, you know, I kind of chuckled a bit when Draymond went up to the podium, and I loved it, though. He went to the podium, and he was asked about, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers and whether or not they're going to close them out in the following game. And he said, yeah, we believe that we're going to close them out. He's so honest. He's so candid whenever he steps behind that mic. I got to know, does Steve Kerr enjoy Green's honesty in those press conferences?
Yeah. You know, it came up the other day because, you know, just I think he explained it away. A lot of Green's confidence is just Draymond being Draymond, right? I mean, he says a lot of stuff. He'll bark at you. He'll trash talk you. And then at the end of the day, really, it's not about the other team. It's about firing up himself, firing up his own team. And, you know, maybe he'll mix up a little bit with some trash talk. But I think what Steve Kerr believes is that it's not really disrespect to the other team. And Draymond has said that as well. It's just about the passion and the motivation that comes with playing in a postseason. You're not supposed to like your opponent, right? You're supposed to get
Thank
physical.
Thank you. Right.
And,
right.
Yeah. It's just part of the whole mental part of it. Obviously, some fans and some opposing players don't like that kind of stuff. It's a little bit of mental mind games and things like that. But I think it makes for a fun atmosphere. And anybody that knows Draymond knows what a competitor he is.
And I have to ask this, Diamond. I know you were probably in the room when this happened, but in the next morning, it was everywhere. And I mean everywhere via social media. When Festus Ezeli and Draymond, during their press conference, there was a moment where Draymond completely zones out for about, I think I counted about 20 to 25 seconds, and it immediately blew up. Did you notice when Draymond kind of went into la-la land when he was up at the podium?
You know, what's funny about that is I didn't notice because it was my question that prompted that.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah. I asked the question, and I was focused on what Bestis was saying, and I didn't notice that at all. But I think, you know, actually, it was funny because Draymond was asked about that, and he didn't really have any explanation for it. But if you note, the part of the clip that wasn't played was Draymond was listening so intently to what Bestis was saying. And the question was about the type of season that Festus had been having. Festus was saying he had a lot of ups and downs. Draymond said right after that there, not to butt in, but I completely disagree with what Festus said. He proceeded to basically compliment his teammate and say he had an exceptional season. So he was listening the whole time. And maybe it was his focus on the question, but it was interesting because it was one of the best. Even though he got stuck there for a little bit, it was one of the best press conferences because he was totally being honest. He listened to the whole answer, and he basically used it as a way to prop up his teammates. So I thought it was great.
So in a way, Diamond, that moment is a product of your candid journalism skills to ask a question that's so insightful that it looks like Draymond Green is on planet Pluto. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, maybe. Or he was just staring me down. It's hard to tell.
That is absolutely fantastic. And we have one of our listeners chiming in via social media, and they want to know, does it ever get annoying when it comes to Riley Curry running around during the press conferences at times?
Not for me, no. I mean, yeah, like if Riley is kind of doing her thing and you want to hear from Steph, hey, I'm a newspaper reporter, right? Like I'm on a little bit of a deadline, too. It's like, all right, let's get it going. But the main thing is ultimately as a journalist, you're looking for the best stories. And if Riley is the person that brings out kind of Steph's personality, and sometimes those post-game press conferences can get a little bland, why not, right? Like, that shows the kind of person that he is. It shows what is true, what ultimately is important to him. To me, anything that shows what's behind the actual game is interesting to me. So, you know, I know there's obviously the social media component, and she just does stuff that people go crazy about. And, you know, people are literally in the audience, like, cooing, you know, at times. I mean, it's that kind of atmosphere sometimes. So
right.
Anything that kind of, takes everything away from the whole X's and O's thing, I'm all for that.
Right. It definitely breaks up the monotony, to say the least, right, Diamond? All right.
Yeah.
Before we close this thing out, my man, I mean, like I said, when I first introduced you, dude, I am so jealous, man, because, you know, I'm a big NBA guy, and you get a chance to watch history and have a front row seat at it. It's really so fun to watch this team, and they have become so beloved across this entire nation and internationally. For you as a journalist, Diamond, this has to be – can it get any better than this? Can it get any better than this for you?
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, you know, you almost forget how to write a story if they lose. You know, you're just so used to one thing happening. Sometimes
right.
It's like, okay, well, they're up by 15 points at some point in the game. Yeah, it's pretty much over. We'll just write that they won. And, you know, it's one of those things. So it's incredible to be kind of have that front row seat to history. I don't think people will ever forget the team, no matter what happens in the playoffs. And, in fact, if they do lose in the Western Conference Finals or the Finals, you'll remember it even more, right? Because it'll just be kind of one of those upsets that people never forget. So either way, whatever happens, it'll be just it's an incredible time chronicling all this.
That is so true. I look forward to reading your pieces as the playoffs continue for the Golden State Warriors. Diamond Leung, he does a fantastic job. He is an NBA Golden State Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Diamond, thanks so much for your time, and drive safe, my friend.
All right, thanks, Al. Take care.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will take a call. We have a caller on the line. We've got Ray on the line. You don't want to miss that, folks, and we will close things out. As we always do each and every Friday, with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere.
Iris, check it out. Bust it out! Bust it out! Bust it out! Bust it out!
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on to talk some sports. Ray, how you doing, my friend?
Skipper, have a nice weekend.
You got it. You too. You as well, my man.
I got hung up, but I called back. You know, somebody's got a funny finger over there. Hey.
I think Ray may be calling Isaac out right now.
I didn't touch a thing. I think he hung it up himself. I'll be honest.
A funny finger over there.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the crybaby Tom Brady looks like he's going to appeal that thing. He's only had 70 cases out of 3,000. He thinks he's going to win. He's not going to win that thing. Why don't he retire so he can pop air in the balls for Tom? He can be a ball boy over there.
Ray.
For Bill Belichick.
Ray, do we really have to talk about Tom Brady today? Really? Yeah. Oh. Come on, Ray.
I can't help it.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me, man.
He gets on my nerves.
I hear you. I dig it. I dig it because, you're anti-U of M. I get it. But
he don't go by the rules, man. He don't go by the rules.
But, again, Ray, there's no solid evidence that he ever dabbled in what people accused him of dabbling in. Now,
How come he destroyed his cell phone?
Yeah, and that's the thing you can point to. You can say, okay, why did you destroy the cell phone that contained the text messages and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You could go that route. But again, with the destroyed, there's no evidence. So, I don't know.
Well, hey, you guys have a good weekend. Hopefully, Tommy will take his punishment like a man once in a while.
Ray, care, buddy. Always a pleasure. You have a good one, Ray. Thank you.
You too.
All right, 3 minutes left. Let's close this baby out. He caught you. We got to save that bite. Funny finger? I've never heard that one before.
I haven't either.
That's a new one. All right, let's close things out like we do each and every Friday here on the show as we reflect on the week that was here on our airwaves and beyond. Reflection Friday. All right, I got a few for you, Isaac. I want to shout out Isaiah Thomas, who is a famed boxer in the Detroit area who actually trained as an amateur. He was trained as an amateur by legendary Kront Gym mentor who I actually got a chance to meet before he passed at the bank on the west side of Detroit, Emmanuel Stewart. But Isaiah Thomas, he's a fantastic young boxer, 15-0 with 6 KOs. He will be fighting tonight on Showbox, The New Generation, as he fights U.S. Olympian Michael Hunter. A big fight for that young man. Also, Duncan and Ginobili, possibly the last time we'll get a chance to see them ever play last night as they were eliminated at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Very bittersweet. Adam Silver missed the Steph Curry handshake during the MVP conversation, MVP ceremony, I should say. And I posted that on my Instagram account if you haven't seen that video. But he apologized and said, quote, my bad, all right? And Michael Strahan, he leaves live with Michael and Kelly today. And he will be now on Good Morning America. So wishing that brother well as well.
I'll focus on Friday the 13th. In the past, I've had a bank robbery across from my school. Yes, I have.
Whoa.
I've had the power go out. I've had all sorts of crazy things happen. So I've actually had a little bit of bad luck on Friday the 13th. So everybody be safe out there. Also, maybe that's the reason for the hang up, but just in case it's not, I'll work on making my finger just a little more serious. Sorry, Ray.
Ray, we apologize, Ray. Definitely carry around a rabbit's foot today, right? All right, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it on Monday. Have a great weekend, and be easy, people.